Welcome back to this week's edition of the Rock and Roll Ghost Podcast. This week we have filmmaker Gaz Alazraki, who has just come out with the smash success Father of the Bride, which is on HBO Max. You guys really hit it out of the park from what I hear. Welcome to the show, Gaz.
Thank you. Yeah, we are getting apparently some great numbers for the opening weekend from the internal data that HBO has now.
Yeah. It was kind of everywhere. It was nice to see, because I will admit, I wasn't sure about another remake of Father of the Bride, but I love Andy Garcia, so I wanted to check it out, and I watched it yesterday, and I was very pleasantly surprised at how much I did enjoy it. Garcia in particular is hysterical. <It's>...
Thank you. Yeah, we wanted to get to a place, a different brand of comedy, and with Andy, it was fun to sort of grab all of these things that he cares about as a person, as an actor, you know, all these things that are, he's a traditional man. So we just said, that's what Billy should be. That's what, where we should torture him. You know, like Billy yeah. should be just aching to let go of his traditions, and yeah. it seems to work.
Yeah. I you know, in the end, I'm probably a little bit closer in age to Andy than the youngsters in the film. So I was kind of like, you know, feeling his pain in a very similar way by the amount of change that he can't seem to grasp.
Yeah, and that's kind of the point of how we addressed it. You know, there's media has been really putting the spotlight on the most progressive people, and somehow we wanted this movie to put it on the next tier of people who are like, yeah, I'm okay with these ideas, just let me catch up, you know, like,
yeah,
it takes a while for me to wrap my head around. And we wanted that to be at the core of the conflict. You know, I don't think that it was a belief system that was at odds with each other as much as the schedule, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's fascinating how you were able to do that in a kind of a profound way. You did, you know, underline the differences, but you also allowed him the opportunity to get there, which, you know, I think that's in many of today's arguments between ages. And this has probably been the way it has been throughout history. You know, the disparity of difference between the young and the older, it seems greater than ever. And people don't seem to have the patience to let people catch up. And I thought that was something interesting that was tackling. And also the fact that somebody can allow their perspective to be changed, especially when it comes to things that matter to them, like their family.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. I just heard a loud thud.
No, it's okay. you were going to say something about that. I'm sorry.
No. I'm glad you're pointing it out, because it was what for me was at the core of this movie. You know, like, if we're gonna remake it, it better say something new. And it felt like just being a father of the bride today and age is a different time, and women don't want to be infantilized. And a father who still talks about his daughter like daddy's a little girl might be accidentally stepping on a landmine and not knowing that he's doing that. And for him to catch up with that, to me, that was interesting. And I felt that justified a revisit to the title.
Yeah. Well, there's, and beyond that, there's also a different kind of battle going on between the Cuban family and the Mexican family. And that's something that we don't really see a lot in popular, you know, domestic entertainment, you know, as much. And how important was that?
That was absolutely a huge opportunity to break the monolith of Latinx. You know, I mean, not only do we have different nationalities, and as you can see, I mean, the similarities are there. You know, they're not unjustified, but just like East Coast people see themselves differently to West Coast people, we see ourselves differently from Cubans or Mexicans or Colombians, even though recognizing that we can be part of the same lineage of Spain, you know? So it felt like an opportunity not to just like open up the fan of diversity that exists under the Latinx seal, but also there's a difference between being Latino, meaning of a Latin American descendants, but who were born in the US and maybe don't even speak Spanish. That's one type of Latinos, versus being a Latin American immigrant, meaning that you're born in an outside of the US and you come here and suddenly, like, when you get generalized and bundled into going like, oh yeah, you're Latinos, you kind of go like, whoa, wait, no, I did not go through the same plight that a Latino goes through growing up in the US, you know? It's very different. So this was a movie that had that opportunity to sort of kind of blow up some of those generalizations.
Right. Well, and even beyond that, I mean, it's you know, the culture clash, you know, between the two families themselves, just in terms of, you know, what they respect and what they honor and what they want out of life is so fascinating. And but it's interesting that, you know, that you see the common ground eventually between, not to give a spoiler necessarily, but between Andy Garcia's character and his future son-in-law, where they do become, you know, they do find common ground to understand and respect each other.
Yeah, that was kind of the arc, you know, like the relationship between Andy and his son-in-law really is about the way that we understand masculinity in the different generations, you know,
right.
Andy's generation is expected to project strength as a sign of masculinity, and Diego or Adán's generation now has a new brand of masculinity where it's about being brave to be vulnerable and flawed and not aggressive. You know, like, you don't need to project strength to be masculine, and learning that for Andy is part of the journey. And it was fun to just juxtapose those generations around those themes that transcend whether we're talking about Asians or Latinos or African-Americans, you know, like, this is more of a question of masculinity in present day.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have somebody like with Andy's character, where no doubt he grew up in a tough environment. But he also managed in his own way to change that story, you know, by being more respectful, giving his daughters, you know, certain freedom, at his time, you know, to be who they wanted to be. But also he wants them to be free and be their own people, but he can't let go is the same thing. And just like in, you know, in his marriage, he doesn't really want to let go. He wants to keep trying at it, you know. And that's an interesting, there's a lot of real interesting depths that, you know, in this film that I got to admit I was not expecting.
I'm glad we aim to surprise.
yeah how did you get involved with it to begin with?
I got invited by Warner Brothers and Plan B after they had developed a script with Matt Lopez, the writer. It was originally developed by Paul Perez, the executive in Warner Brothers, and then he actually became producer on the movie, which is really cool because it kind of put us in a situation where they wanted the Mexican and the Cubans behind the wheel. And from there, we said, let's be authentic and cast Cubans as Cubans, Mexicans as Mexicans. And And then there were additional layers that were really cool. Like, for example, Diego Boneta, he is an immigrant into the US who kind of settled in LA. So it kind of married nicely into this character that found his footing in New York and didn't want to go back to Mexico because he could be more himself. Adria Arjona was also this girl who was born in Puerto Rico with a Guatemalan father, and she grew up in Mexico City until she was 12. And then her mom moved to Miami, and she grew up in Miami, but going back to visit Mexico City. So suddenly you have this character who has a love for a Mexican fiance, but a Cuban American father in Miami. And she loves Mexico and she loves Miami, and the actors had that authenticity. So that started to create like more intrinsic ties between the cast. And Andy and Gloria were the best of friends for decades before they did this movie. So it was really easy for them to step into these roles of an old marriage. And they knew all of the actors that they brought on board. So it really felt familiar in the Cuban side. And then Pedro Damián, who plays the father of the groom, he's a producer who actually gave Diego his break in the telenovela in Mexico City when he was a kid.
Okay.
And then he gave a break to Macarena, who plays his wife in the movie. So everyone pretty much knew each other, you
Yeah.
know, like Diego gave Adria her GQ award like 2 years ago, and they became friends there. So suddenly you have these little connections between everyone that just made the movie very real.
Yeah. Yeah, and you mentioned something kind of interesting, that the fact that you were able to hire actors to represent, the countries that the characters come from for the most part. Whereas, I mean, for years that has never really been the case. We've, seen a lot of, even up until like a decade ago. I mean, I think white actors playing, different nationalities. And I know that line could kind of be blurred, because then people start going down this weird theory. Well, what if somebody's not Polish and they're playing a Polish person? And people get all nuts with it. But it is important to tell stories as authentically as possible sometimes too.
I think that the subject matter kind of lends itself to make that judgment call, right? I mean, Andy spoke a lot about trying to be flexible on that rule because he said, look, I played an Italian guy in The Godfather 3. If we're closing the doors to anybody because of these things, it will certainly come in detriment of art to a certain degree. And acting is meant to give us permission to do these things. But there are movies, for example, where like this one, where it really is about the culture clash. And if you suddenly have, I don't know, Alfred Molina playing the Mexican father with Antonio Banderas playing the Cuban American, something does get lost. And for this movie, it felt like the right choice. Whereas I also share Andy's general feeling about trying to also let actors act, you know?
And I mean, and Andy came up at a time where, he really was a breakout star, when there weren't, many others, of his heritage, not even just Cuban, but, any type of, Latin ex performer. He really kind of broke out, and he did have success, and he had a career that, not many people were, I guess, allowed or had the opportunity to have back then. So,
Yeah, and the irony is that he did so playing Italian characters, you know, in The Untouchables and in The Godfather. Like his characters were Italian. And yet it's like Andy Garcia, and at some point, just people kind of forgot about it. It's funny. It's like people don't necessarily associate Andy Garcia as necessarily being a Cuban actor just because of the types of roles that he did, any more than they associate Cameron Diaz with being a Latina, you know?
That's I Yeah, there, and it's an interesting argument or discussion to be had all around. I think is, you know, all of this. But I think we're going through a period of adjustment and trying. You know, people are trying to do the right things. You know, in every way, and trying to get everybody to have, you know, room. You know, room to move and a voice to speak and get more nuanced stories out there. And I think this is a...
Yeah, and it cuts both ways because to a certain degree, I think that, you know, Andy is happy that he didn't necessarily had to be cast into every Latin part, you know? And I think that when you get into this thing where it has to be specific, then suddenly Andy would have not been able to do, to play a cop in New Jersey. You know, right. Like so many roles would be off the table if that's how you were going about it. So, so actors, I think, want to act. They want to play. They want the opportunity to jump into someone else's feet and try to do something different. So, that, you know, like there's merit to get it more specific. And also there's merit to knowing how to keep it flexible.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I don't want to hammer this point home, but so what kind of shooting schedule did you end up having with this? I mean, how long were you filming for?
It was delicious. I shot for 9 weeks, like 4 pages a day, all the resources in the world. I mean, my last show was Club of Cuervos. We were doing 10, 12 pages a day, two cameras shooting like crazy. It was breakneck speeds, and suddenly you get a chance to actually be thoughtful and propose the movie you want to make. It was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I you know, if everything about it feels right. And so I've been recommending it, and I just need to tell you, I just really had a blast with it, with watching. And I don't, like I said, you know, I love being surprised. No, I'm one of those people that loves seeing movies. Love going to the movies. I love watching movies at home. I don't ever want to not like a movie. I go into every movie hoping I love it, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and so I was glad that I loved this one because...
I'm so grateful. I'm so glad, man. Like, I really did want to connect with you and people outside of the Latin culture. Like,
yeah.
I was hoping to extend the conversation.
Well, in the end, it's still family is still universal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you really need to find what are those universal aspects so that you don't get boxed into the specifics of a culture.
Right. Really get narrow things down and get into, you know, extreme analyzed arguments between, you know, culturally, but. You know, you also want to make something that you probably, I mean, it's a family film in a sense, you know, I mean, it's not meant to be a documentary.
yeah.
I mean, so what have you heard back now that it's such a success? Have you just been getting flooded with calls about, you know, how great and happy everybody is with it?
Yeah, you know, you hear from people all over, like from way back also, people kind of reach out and it's pretty great. And, you know, it's still going. Like today people were still reaching out and saying like, yo, I finally saw it. It's good. Like, I didn't think it was going to be good. That's like such an interesting comment, but it's warranted, you know. You ultimately, the track record for remaking movies under an ethnic or a racial reimagining has not given us a good track record. So it's a valid starting point, I think, for the conversation.
Well, but, I think remakes in general the last 10 years have been rather, I don't know what the exact word, but they haven't been good for the most part. I mean, you know, did we really need a RoboCop remake, you know, stuff like that?
No.
No offense to anybody that, you know, made it. I mean, you know, I'm just saying that the idea that you need to remake everything, but I think Father of the Bride is one of those things that, like the Steve Martin film from, you know, way back when, as time changes culturally, it's like Shakespeare. It could probably be adapted by a future generation easily. You know, it's just about family.
I think so. Ultimately, you know, you're having these, you're facing a moment where unquestionably the next generation is setting up shop to have their own kids. It's an unmistakable landmark of an unmistakable reminder that you're getting old, you know, yeah. In spite of what you want to tell yourself.
Yeah.
Grandchildren are right around the corner, so get ready.
Yeah. No, I know. I just turned 51. I've got a 32-year-old son. So,
Jesus, you don't look it.
I appreciate that. I at this point, it almost seems like I'm fishing for compliments when I say that. But no, I do always appreciate that. You know, get back to me another 9 years, maybe it'll all catch up to me. Well, you know, I don't have much more time, but I did want to ask, what are you working on next?
Well, we are working on a mini series about the time that Frida Kahlo spent in America with Diego Rivera as like her young wife. It's a little bit of that imagination of motorcycle, like what Motorcycle Diaries did with Che Guevara, but in a mini series of Frida Kahlo finding her voice when she gets isolated from her world and she's regarded as this great artist's wife, but nobody really sees her, and she kind of discovers herself a little in the U.S. So that one is pretty cool. It's based on a book called Frida in America.
How far along are you with that?
We're developing the pilot right now with Brenna Koof, who is also like this writer that grew up in the U.S. and then spent time in Veracruz, and she's really interesting and fun. And I'm also working on the remake of my original movie, or the adaptation of my movie with Terrence Winter writing and Chris Columbus directing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, for Netflix. So
oh,
we're
cool.
Producing that. Yeah, that one's exciting.
Well, the Frida idea, my ex-wife is a huge Frida Kahlo fan, and the year we divorced, actually, that's another part of the Father of the Bride that got to me, was how kind of real the desire for the couple, you know, between Andy and Gloria going through their trouble in their marriage. It that hit home too. But we took a trip to Detroit, and in 2015 they were showing, you know, this grand exhibit of Frida and Diego's art, which was just utterly fascinating. And so it was about their time here in the States. So your,
mm-hmm.
your idea for the show sounds like something I'd be very interested in.
I'm glad. I think that there's an interesting awakening for they were a communist couple in the heart of the Rockefeller era, you know, like, yeah. I mean, the juxtaposition of those two worldviews was pretty intense, and it kind of forced Frida to really own what she stood for. And you think about it, and she married Diego when she was 16 and he was like 30. Today that would be called anything from gaslighting to grooming to yeah. just plain wrong.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, it yielded this intense story for this woman who became an icon. So it's like this question of how did she become that icon?
Yeah, it sounds really amazing. I'm
yeah.
I'm hoping the best for that project, because I'm hoping the best for all of your projects, because I'm very eager to see what you have next after being blown away by Father of the Bride.
I'm grateful to hear that, Brad. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, Gaz, I'm sorry, I almost called you Gary again. Fine. I really appreciate you taking the time today, and again, best of luck, and I'm so happy for your success with Father of the Bride. So thank you again for being a guest on the show.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me. It's I like your show.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. All
right. Well, you have a good rest of your day, okay?
Take care. You too.
You too. Bye.
Bye.